All right, we're on page 11. Number 3. Oh, no, that's on the 4. Oh, that's right. It was okay. I thought we were beyond that. We are on the 11. Okay. Yes. All right. So we're learning about angels are real persons. There are three things that make somebody sentient or a person. Okay. And the three things are, what are they? What gives them personality? I give you three of them. One's intelligence. What's the second one?
Will. And emotions.
All right. So I call them a triangle of personhood. That makes them a person. Is God a person?
Yep.
All right. And that's why we actually refer to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each one of them is persons because they each have individual characteristics. Even though they're not individual, they have personableness. They are persons, three persons in one. So we talk about intelligence, wills, and emotions. We're now on the intellect. The ability, intellect is the ability to think, reason, learn, and observe. Angels possess something. Let's go to 2 Samuel 14:20. Who did I just have read? Who was reading the last? Was that you, Barry? You read all the way down? Yeah, okay. Eric, you're reading 2 Samuel 14:20.
Consecrate this form of speech to the servitude and dominance of my Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth.
All right. So according to the wisdom of an angel. So angels possess wisdom. According to 1 Peter 1:12, angels have intellectual curiosity, especially when it comes to God's amazing plan of salvation. And it says 1 Peter 1:12, Eric, if you'll look at that. Angels not only have wisdom, they have curiosity.
Unto whom it was revealed that, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Wow. I mean, there's some things I desire to understand, to look into. I love astronomy. I was watching... there was a blood moon the other day, which it was a lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse. I would have loved to have seen it. I just like stuff like that. I love solar eclipses. I desire to watch and learn and see those things. Angels desire to learn from what we go through. Number B, angels have intellect as seen by the fact that they are learning. God deals with the church today so that angels learn the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:10, John.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
So God's wisdom needs to be learned by the church, but it ought to be learned and exposed to the principalities and powers in heaven that they might learn just how wise God is. You'd think that they already knew that. I mean, if you met an angel, wouldn't you think he already knows everything there is about God? God uses a bunch of dumb Gentile Christians to teach angels things about God. Number C, angels have knowledge, but there are things they do not know, such as the time of the Lord's coming. Mark 13:32, Romeo.
But of today, an hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is.
All right. So the angels don't know when the Lord's coming back. Okay. Intellect makes it possible for a person to speak and talk, and angels have this ability as well. Francis, would you look at Galatians 1:8? Galatians 1:8.
But through we, or an angel from heaven, which any other gospel unto you than that which we are, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Right, so if an angel comes and preaches to you, do rocks preach? Do rocks preach? Do plants preach? Okay, so intellect is something that enables you to speak. I know some apes are smarter than some humans, I know that, but they can't speak. All right? They don't have that form of intellect. But angels have the ability to talk to us. And if an angel appeared and spoke to you and preached to you another gospel, he is from where? He's from hell. No, if he spoke another gospel, if he spoke something other different than what the Bible says. All right, angels have the intellectual capacity for reverent and thoughtful worship. We'll just look at one of these verses, Hebrews 1:6. We'll go to Edward. Hebrews 1:6.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him.
Okay, angels have the ability to reverently and thoughtfully worship God. Angels also possess a will, the ability which is the ability to decide and to choose. Jude verse 6, Barry.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day.
All right, so fill in your blanks there. What are the answers?
Kept not their first estate, but left them.
Yes.
Left their own habitation.
That's a choice, isn't it?
No.
They decided not to keep what God had given them. And they left. Alright. In this example, the angels chose to go against God's revealed will. B.
So you want to have people opposite the difference between a man and an angel, that man has free will.
That's a lie. That's a lie. They have free will too. They just can't get back right. We can get right. They can't.
So for people would you that as well to say, why God created a man? Because he created, because angels don't have free will, so they're like robots, they have to worship them, and then but he created a man because he has free will. He has a choice.
That's conjecture. That's not true.
Why would God create human race?
God's desire was to create human people. He created angels to help humans. He did not create angels to worship him, even though they do. He's surrounded by angels, but they didn't choose to worship him. They choose whether to stay in worship or they choose to leave. But it's by man, by faith, choosing to worship God. God is only pleased by faith, and angels don't exercise faith. That's the only difference. The difference is not free will. Whoever is talking to you, or whoever stands up there and says, there's between man and angels is free will. It's not true. There's between man and angels is faith. Angels see. They know God. But men, we blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Okay? All right, the angels had to use their will at the time when Satan rebelled against God, and they had to decide whether to remain loyal to God or whether to follow Satan. One third of the angels made the wrong choice to follow Satan. We'll study this in detail in later chapters. Angels possess, thirdly, emotions. And I don't deal with this too much. I would love for you to do a report on the emotions of angels. They argue. they have emotions. As we're going to see, they rejoice. Let's look at Luke 15:10, Eric. They have feelings.
Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
All right. So if you got around the angels, what would the angels be doing when one sinner bowing his head and repenting, getting saved.
Swinging on the belt.
What?
Swinging on the belt.
Swinging on the belt. I hadn't quite heard that before. All right, swinging on the belt. So they shout. They like their team just won. They have emotional feelings. Now their appearance. Since they are spiritual beings, spirit beings, they're usually not seen. Unless God gives the ability to see them, or unless they manifest themselves. A Balaam, is your first fill-in, could not see the angel standing in his way until the Lord opened his eyes. Go to Numbers 22:31, John. Numbers 22:31. Balaam is your fill-in there on 1.
Said Moab or whatever, you know, you were wondering in the last class or whatever, or Barak.
Oh, he was a Moabite, yes, thank you.
22:31.
Yes.
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face.
Okay, so what was able to see that angel before Balaam saw him?
Donkey.
And you know, they actually say, and I don't know how far to take it, but they say dogs sense things and can see things. A very good reason to have a pet is because if you ever catch cancer, if you ever get cancer, your dog will know it before you
smell
do.
It?
I don't know if you can smell it or sense it in you. A dog can sense when you're depressed. A dog can do an amazing sense. And other animals are able to do it as well. They can sense things. Animals can tell when an earthquake's coming. And humans love to try and find out why animals can sense things. They sense barometric pressure changes. They detect things.
So how is your dog reacting to your
transmission? They just seem to gather around you. They seem to try to comfort you because they can tell you're sick. At least, I'm not talking about just any dog, but a dog that has grown up with you and knows you in and out. The point is, Balaam couldn't see what the donkey could. And then God opened his eyes. Elisha's servant, if you remember, Elisha was looking out and he saw only the armies of the Syrians. And then what did Elisha pray? He says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then he could see the angels behind the army of the Syrians. When angels have been seen, as recorded in the scripture, they are often mistaken as only men. Because they were manifested in man-like appearance. Genesis 18:2. Genesis 18:2, 16 and 22.
And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground.
Verse 16.
And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way.
And then 22.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
Right, are these humans?
That's as far as Abraham can tell.
But they were angels. So they appeared as men. Alright? Mm-hmm. And this will come later on. It says, and two men sat. One outside and one inside the tomb. It says two men, but they weren't men, they were angels. Okay. So sometimes they're mistaken as men. D, sometimes they appear in a way that either manifests God's glory, Luke 2 and verse 9, Romeo. I know I'm going fast, but I'm trying to catch up. Genesis, sometimes you want to take 2 hours to do, you know, 1 hour a chapter, because there's just so much, but... Luke chapter 2, verse 9. I've got Genesis on the brain. Luke chapter 2 and verse 9.
And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid.
Okay, so when the angel appeared, what was radiating off of them?
Glory.
Glory, brilliance. They looked beautiful. Matthew 28, also Romeo, if you look up Matthew 28 and verse 3.
His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes are as white as snow.
Right, now this was an angel. In verse 2 it says an angel was there at the tomb. And his countenance, what's his countenance?
As white as snow.
Well, what does countenance mean?
That's appearance.
Your appearance, what you look like, your face.
Yeah,
so his face just radiated. Okay, it was bright. So they were brilliant. Consistently, angels have appeared as real men, but never as ghosts or as winged animals. Sometimes you go to these shops and they're selling angels, and then they'll have winged horses and winged creatures and stuff. They call them all angels. They're not angels at all, especially the ones with long hair and look like women. They are not angels at all. Number two, they are occasionally pictured...
There are heavenly horses, aren't there?
There are. Never seen any with wings, though.
Sure, they couldn't fly without wings, did
they? You'll be able to fly without wings.
Yep.
Jesus flew without wings. He went up to heaven without wings, didn't he?
That's what you're saying, isn't
it? Oh, come on! He's not!
Flying,
a big stairs appear.
Every angel you find, ascending, descending, walking around, none of them have angels. None of them have wings. They don't need wings. Only the five that were around the throne had wings. And then the four are seraphim as well.
Yeah,
but everybody else, they look like normal men. There was some film out there, and it had John Travolta in there. I never saw it, but I saw somebody talking about it. He was supposed to be an angel.
Yeah,
he's walking around. He had this trench coat so he could hide his wings.
But he was rude and crude, isn't
it? I have no idea. I just don't even want to know. If it's got John Travolta, and I'm not interested in it. But he was supposed to be an angel, hiding his wings underneath his trench coat. So it doesn't work. Right, consistently, so number two, they are occasionally pictured in other forms and in other manifestations as with wings, as a combination of man, beast, and birds, like in Ezekiel 1 and Isaiah 6. But those aren't normal angels. We already put them up above in their cherubim and seraphim. But apparently, they only occurred in such a way as a vision or a special revelation for God. No angel literally appeared on earth in such form, never with wings. Number three, they seem to always have appeared as young, looking, mature men. All right, back to you, Francis, Mark 16:5.
And entering into the sepulchre.
Sepulchre, yes.
They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid.
So they got into the tomb after the resurrection. Jesus isn't there. There's a man sitting there, and he's in a long white outfit, right, a robe. But he looked like what kind of a man? An old man? What does it say? There sat on there a young man. So whenever you see an angel in the Bible, he's always around 30-ish. Wish he was called 50-ish so I could be called a young man. But it was 30-ish about there, right? But never do you find angels described as old men because they neither age nor die. Number four, yet in the present fascination of our culture, I previously referred to it as angel mania. The common conception of angels is that of winged creatures, and most oftentimes, female. And that bothers me because why make an angel female? Now, Francis, I wish you weren't here because I could talk plenty. So I have to be careful, and I'm also being recorded. But why make an angel female? Some of you older guys, think about it. Why do people want female angels? It's a sex object. What was it in the past angels intermingled with the daughters of men in the future. It's angels that are female, at least they think they are, coming in and messing around with men. People are open to the concept of female because they're soft and cuddly and they're a sex object. That's my guess. I could be completely wrong. I doubt I am. But modern desire for angels is to be female. It's to be female, and it is a dangerous thing.
From another religion, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm sure it comes in all kinds of things. But in our modern world, we're not dealing with a historical world. We're dealing with a modern world, and a female is a sex object. End of story. That's all she is today.
By feminism. Can be influenced by feminism.
Yeah, but the end result of feminism still is sex. And who's in control? And one of these days, when demons are in control, people won't mind as long as they're female. It's just a wicked thought that these all innocent little images are all feeding the next generation about sex objects and about the abuse of the human body. Spiritual sex, they call it. And it's absolutely, absolutely grieving to think about. Yes?
Yeah, well, this is the same thing applied to the tongue movement as well.
Wow.
There are more women into that than men.
That's probably that's a whole nother course to talk about all the things. The tongues movement, if it weren't for tongues and if it weren't for women, it wouldn't exist. Okay? And the tongues movement is very complicated. I couldn't summarize it. I just know that our age, we're in a woman's age. 100 years ago, and for the last 6,000 years, it's been a man's age. And for the last 100 years, it's the woman's era. They run the show. But it's not just women. They don't even realize they're under demonic pressure. They're under demonic thing. And isn't it funny? In this illuminated, enlightened world, women are more sex objects than ever before. They are only possessions to be conquered. And that is not what they wanted. And yet that's what they opened the door to. So, number 5, some of the commonly held conceptions are not supported by scriptural witness. A, there are no indications of angels ever appearing in female form, nor is there explicit reference to normal angels as ever being winged, although Daniel 9, Revelation 14 speak of them as flying, but never with wings. The cherubim and the seraphim are represented as wings, as are the symbolic creatures of Ezekiel 1:6. However, what is true of cherubim and seraphim is not true of angels in general. Number 6. While angels generally appear as men, Zechariah 5:6 suggests that this is not always the case. Two women are mentioned in this passage as not specifically called angels, but they are clearly angels of God or forces of Satan, like angels, good or evil. Let's go to Zechariah 5:9. I'll show you this. I've always found that there's a general rule, and then there are exceptions. Zechariah, who did I just have read? Was that you, Eddie? Edward? So, Barry, if you'll read Zechariah. I should have the last one to find Zechariah read it. One of your minor prophets, just before Matthew. Zechariah 5:9.
Then lifted I up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven.
All right. Now, ephah is just a basket. It carried grain or carried flour or whatever. But here is a female winged creature, and it's flying. All right. Is it a demon? Is it an angel? Because of all the other references, I make it a demon. All right. This is a vision. And in the context, it just says, where do these bear this ephah? And he says, to build in the house of the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon our own base. It's not clear.
There couldn't be any female demons either.
They could appear as, just like the demons that fly out of the bottomless pit, they appear with hair as women, faces of men, teeth as lions. So it's how they appear, and yet they're demons. Okay?
What's the context of this, these two winged women?
This is a vision, and it's a vision of the future, and it's a vision of the tribulation. We did minor prophets, and I kind of just passed right it over as fast as I could. Because I have no idea.
Just
Do it on your own time. I got 12 minutes before I gotta finish. Yeah. I don't have an answer.
Firstly, it says, and he said, this is wickedness, because he's talking about what was in there.
That's right.
They cast it into the midst of the ephah, and they cast the weight of lead upon them, I thought, then mm-hmm. I put my eyes, and behold, it came out through them.
That's right. So and I make them evil.
Come up with wings then?
Yep. So they actually have to put a lead cover on this thing to keep it in, whatever it is inside there that he calls evil. And then these guys are carrying it around and taking it to Babylon. I think they're demons. Right? Well, but I've read several different commentaries, and nobody's secure in what they're thinking. I don't know.
Well, whatever way it is, they're women.
So it makes them evil, right?
Hold on, I'm with you all the way, brother. But,
Francis, you gotta laugh. We have fun. It's not true, anyway. Yes, I'm just telling you, up pop these two winged creatures. They're female. Are they angels? Are they fallen angels? Or are they just demons? I think
it's
they're demons.
The fact that they're women.
And they're, they're really getting us in trouble.
No, not women, but the fact that they're female.
That's it.
You know, we don't really ever see here, you know.
Number seven. Francis Schaeffer has an interesting comment concerning the invisibility of angels. And he says this. One reason angels are rendered invisible to human sight may be that if they were seen, they would be worshipped. That's your answer. Man, who is so prone to idolatry as to worship the works of his own hands, would hardly be able to resist the worship of angels were they before his eyes. So doesn't that make sense? I mean, if angels were running around here and they were always visible, people would be, because they'd be superheroes. They would be Thor. They would be Spider-Man. They would be, you know, the guys that people would worship. Superman. Number 8. And I think angels have appeared. That's how come the Greeks worshipped those angels as gods. Zeus and Mercury and Jupiter. Number 8. The church at Colossae had been invaded by false teachers who were teaching a false humility and taught the worship of angels as part of the means to spirituality. It seems these teachers were claiming special mystical insights by way of visions, all in connection with their worship of angels. We don't have time, but it's Colossians 2:18 talking about worship of angels. The person attempting to make such judgment as described is described as one involved in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Oh, they are so humble, and yet they're worshiping angels. The context suggests that he seeks to impose these things on the Colossians, that this is the means by which he attempts to disqualify them of their prize, of their Christian rewards, by getting them to, instead of worshiping only Jesus Christ, to worshiping angels through humility. And haven't you met somebody walking around in a long brown robe? Haven't you met those monks, and they are the most humble people in the world? But all they're worried about is pleasing the mother, or invoking the prayers of the saints, or asking for God to use his angels instead of, why don't you just talk to Jesus? Why don't you just go through Jesus' name? Number 10, this was demonic because it was an attempt to usurp the preeminent place and the sufficiency of Christ as Savior. In other words, no wonder then that the author of Hebrews, in the most extended passage on angels in the entire New Testament, which is Hebrews 1, demonstrates the superiority of Christ to even the mightiest of angels. In this, he concludes his argument with a question designed to show that Christ, God's very Son, and the radiance of his glory, who sits at God's right hand, is superior to all angels when he asked, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? So I don't know how, but the seraphims and the cherubims one day are going to ask, would you like grape juice with that or milk? I don't understand it. I am a nothing. I'm a piece of dirt. And angels are going to minister to me? How does that happen? I don't deserve that. Francis, you think some angel ought to be just sitting there at your beck and call, taking care of you, watching out for you? You're going to get by the car one day. You're going to be driving, and another car will come at you, and you'll swerve and go around, and you'll go, how'd that happen? Some angel got in there and protected you. Why is an angel protecting somebody like me? Because God put them there. Not because I deserve it. But those are angels. So, angels were involved in all the key events in history. Did you know that? Look in the life of Christ. A, your filling is Christ. In the life of Christ. The angels were fascinated by the incarnate life of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. a scene of angels believed on in the world, received up into the glory, preached to the Gentiles, received up into the world, up into glory. But he was seen of angels. Angels were watching the birth of Christ. The very one who created him, they watched to become a man. Oh, what wonder, what amazement, who can count the priceless cost? This should be a poem, it should be tilted over there, but oh, what wonder, what amazement, who can count the priceless cost? When my God left heaven's glory for the manger and the cross. How the angels watched in wonder, as on me his grace he shed, choosing rather than his glory such a lowly manger bed. Oh, what worship he is worthy, oh, what praise my heart should sing, to my Lord, to my Redeemer, to my Savior, and my King. Angels were involved in his birth. Remember the angel saying to Mary and to Joseph, saying, you're going to have a baby, call his name Jesus. They were involved, they were there at his temptation, when after he was tempted of the devil, the angels ministered to him. They were involved with his agony in the garden, they ministered to him. They were there at his arrest. Go to Matthew 26:53. Who did I just have read? Was that Barry? So is it you, Eric, or did you already read?
No.
All right, Eric, you can read. You would. Matthew 26:53.
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
So what was right there ready to come? 12 legions of angels ready to move. They were right there at his arrest. They were there at his resurrection, as we read earlier, and they were glorious. And they were there at his ascension. Go to Acts 1:10, John. Acts 1 and verse 10. Look who's there when Jesus ascends. I guess Barry doesn't think he flew. But when Jesus ascends up to heaven.
1:10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
And they said, why are you looking up? This same Jesus has gone away. He's going to come again. So two angels appeared even at his ascension. Of course, demons, fallen angels, were also very active during the ministry of Jesus Christ, and there are many other passages. Every time Jesus turned around, he's having to deal with some demon. B, angels are involved in the life of the church, the body of Christ. So they were involved in the life of Christ, also in the life of Christianity, of the church. Angels are learning of God's wisdom by means of the church. We read that in Ephesians 3:10.
Church.
Number two, the practices of the church should be carried out with the knowledge that good angels are present and are witnesses of what we do. Romeo, if you'll read 1 Timothy 5:21.
Thee before God and the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, and doing nothing by partiality.
I charge thee. I make you responsible for God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and even the elect angels who are watching you. That's a crazy thought, Eric. I'm supposed to do right because God is watching, because the Lord Jesus Christ is expecting me to do right, and because the angels, the elect, the good angels, the ones who are saved, are watching me and expecting me to do right. Number three, we submit to God's order in the local assembly because of the something. 1 Corinthians 11:10, Francis.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels.
Okay, all right. Now that brings up a big thing that we don't have time to talk about too much. But good night, nurse. When a woman, all right. Now read the verse again and watch this thing. Start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. I want to show you something here. Go ahead.
be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Okay, so Paul says very clearly, don't obey me. Obey me as I obey Christ, right? Alright, so he's under authority. It's always the concept of, are you in rebellion? Or are you under authority? Francis, who's your direct authority right now? Who's directly in charge of your life? No. The man sitting next to you, your dad. Alright? Now you're supposed to do what your dad tells you to do, as long as it's like Christ would, okay? If your dad said, I need you to go into the AIB, I need you to faint and to pretend like you're having a convulsion and divert attention while I run in and steal the bank. I'm sorry, you can't obey him, alright? But as he follows Christ, as he does things like he's following Christ, man, you follow him. He tells you what to do, you do it. As long as it doesn't cross the scripture, you must obey your authority. Does that make sense? Alright, I know that doesn't, you don't want to, but that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, so we're supposed to be under authority. Here's a woman. Run down to verse, I want you to start, it's too much, I don't have time. Read then again in verse 10. For this cause,
oh, the woman to have power on her head because of the angels.
Alright, this woman should give power to her head. She ought to have power. Another word for authority is power in your Bible. So who's the authority of a woman? If you look back, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, but read verse 3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is
God. Alright, so the head of the man is who?
Christ.
The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is
God.
So we've got a line of authority here. And a woman ought to give power, give authority to her man. That's my man. To her husband. Why? Who's actually hovering around the home, hovering around us, and can take advantage of rebellion? Angels. You've got to watch out. There are spiritual battles that go along when we're in rebellion. When we look at our Father, we says, no! There are angels that are going, yes! We've now been invited into the home. Let's have fun. But when you obey and you say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, I will do what is right because you're doing what's right, because you're asking me what's right. I must do it even though I don't want to. And then the angels, the fallen angels go, argh! And then God's angels say, let's help him. Let's help him do right. Because the angels are there. I don't fully understand. I don't talk to the angels. I don't worship the angels. I don't even think about the angels. But I know they're waiting for me whether I obey or whether I rebel. Two different battles I choose, whether I have the right battle or I go into a wrong side of the battle based on whether I give authority to my authority. If I give power to my head, all right? I have a pastor. I also have a government. I have my dad and my mom. They are, in many ways, different types, they have different positions of authority over me. Now, my parents aren't in total authority. My parents are different than yours. You still live at home. But I still seek my dad's wisdom, and my dad, if it weren't for my dad putting his foot down saying, you're going to finish your fourth year in Bible college, which was a wacko thing for him to say because he never liked me being in Bible college. But when he said, you're going to finish, no son of mine's going to quit, that's when I got to meet Nita. If I had not met any girl who wanted to go to Ireland, I didn't want to say they didn't want to marry me, but I had met any girl to get married to, so I was willing to go and live alone for the rest of my life. But my dad said, no, you finish your fourth year. And he put his foot down. You must finish. And it's because of that, and that next year in Bible college, I met Nita. We got married at the end of the year. And I obeyed my authority. Amen? And God blessed. But if I had disobeyed my authority, he said, my dad doesn't know what he's doing. He's not a spiritual bone in his body. He's not even saved. The angels were watching. And they could have ruined my life. So,
how did you know that the passage is bad, the angels?
I don't know. It's just the angels. Because of the angels. So the idea is, there are elect angels watching me as I serve the Lord. I'm supposed to obey because of good angels. And this one is because of a woman named Eve who did not stay by her man, but did her own thing that a demonic angel, a cherub, convinced the whole human race to fall away from God. So I would say that it could be good or bad. It's just there's a spiritual realm watching, and they react based on our obedience or our disobedience. Evidently not all of them, because Apollyon's not in chains, and Revelation says Apollyon is in charge of the bottomless pit, so he's not in chains. So evidently not all of them are in chains of darkness. But the ones that messed around with women, those got judged during the flood. But other demonic angels, fallen angels, are not in chains. Okay? All right, we got to stop there. I think we can't go any further. There's one last one that says, so we are to submit to God's order in our church because of the angels. Number four, and then as a local assembly and in home, I should say at home. Number four, the angels witness our participation in the outworking of Christ's life in the arena of the world of death and darkness. We don't have time. We got to stop right there. We'll pick up that next week. All right.